I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Britson. I'm your host. It's Thursday, August 19th, and we continue what we are affectionately calling Nerd Week. Our good friend RJ White to look at the AFC, NFC South on this episode. RJ, what's up, dude?
Not much. How you doing, Will?
Do you like being called a nerd?
I'm used to it at this point.
I like being called. I like being a nerd. I wish,
you know,
I was. Yeah,
if you go to Sportsline and look at my expert, you know, profile page, the handle underneath it says Super Stat Geek. So I'm more used to geek than nerd at this point.
I feel like geek is a little more pejorative than nerd, or maybe it's the other way around.
Either way.
Yeah. Anyway, there are four divisions already in the feed with the PFF guys. Go check those out. We'll have more analytics talk throughout the week. Let's dive into the AFC South. I guess you call it a fascinating division and talk some win totals. The Titans lead the way now at 9.5. The Titans are also the favorite to win the division at minus somewhere between 125 and 140, I think. You would want to bet on the Titans right now if you were going to bet on them to win the division. You need to do it before the Carson Wentz injury or after we find out that Carson Wentz is coming back in week one, right?
Yeah, ideally you would have taken them at plus odds to win the division, you know, a month or two ago. And then you can come back and take the Colts now. And you're not going to have the Jaguars or Texans mess you up. So you're gonna win that either way if you can get plus money at both of them. So now the play, if you can find it, is to take the Colts at plus 140, plus 130. I've seen it around those areas. And expecting that if we continue to get positive news on Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson, that you are going to be able to get the Titans at plus money at that point.
Yeah, I would anticipate. It sounds like they still don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but and we'll talk about the Colts in a second, but it has sounded increasingly optimistic about Carson Wentz coming back and playing in by week one. Although I think that I also saw where, you know, they don't know, you know, they still have to figure out if it looks like the odds for this division are down at Caesars, which is interesting. I think basically, the Colts are saying we won't know for another week if Carson Wentz is going to be able to play week one, but it does seem to be trending in the right direction. And apparently he's been out there with the coaches and everything. But back to the Titans. I mean, this team is pretty consistent, right? I mean, 9 wins, 3 straight years, Mike Vrabel, I think an above average coach, an underrated coach, maybe even, and we know what they're going to do. Now they lost Arthur Smith to the Falcons, but they still have their bread and butter, which is Derrick Henry and a really good offensive line. Plus Ryan Tannehill, who's essentially morphed into a top 10 quarterback at this point. Would you want to mess with their over or under here, RJ?
Yeah, I have full confidence in the offense. Number 2 in points per drive last year. Tannehill had another big season. I think he's the key ingredient here, not Arthur Smith, who obviously was a big, you know, proponent of that offense taking a step forward in recent years. But if you have Tannehill, Henry, Jones, and Brown, I think you're pretty good, baseline there to go off of. Defense has to be better, though. They were worse in the NFL on third downs last year, 30th in red zone percentage. But they made that a focus of the offseason. They added Bud Dupree to help the pass rush. cornerback was a key area improvement. They got Janoris Jenkins, Caleb Farley on the board. And then with Kristen Fulton getting more chance to contribute this year, I think he played six games last year. So that'll be big too. You get improved cornerback play. That's going to help Kevin Byard. Give him a chance to bounce back. He was kind of a down year for him. We know how good he can be at the top of his game. So you get those guys working together and you get a better performance from the secondary. Then I think that it's going to be a big season for them.
Yeah. It's a defense that really has struggled to, you know, to do much of anything ever since Dean Pease departed. And he, you know, his whole thing, and he's now with Atlanta, his whole thing was manufacturing, pass rush without actually having the ability, you know, the guys out there. And so you do sort of wonder if they can figure out a way to get the defense. If they figure out the defense, this is a Super Bowl contender, right?
Yeah, you got to figure that 30-1, I think it's 30-1 to win the Super Bowl, that if they have the defense coming together, they have a chance to make a run. That's obviously a very tough conference. You know, you have to get by the Chiefs first and foremost, and the Bills looked better last year. Ravens should still be solid. So there might be some value with them playing them to win the Super Bowl at 30-1, but I think that's going to be tough either way.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. Again, we do like him to win the division, assuming that Carson Wentz is going to miss time. And I would play the over on this Titans win total, but I also think you would probably get better juice if you find out that Wentz is back. Again, it sort of goes back to the you don't want to bet on Tennessee. Tennessee is at the apex of their value, right? I mean, and now is not the time to bet them, as you pointed out.
Yeah, they are at the apex of their value. I would take the over either way, though. I think I liked it already. I think they were going to win 11 games or so when we knew Carson Wentz was healthy. If he misses one of their matchups, maybe they win 12. You know, so we'll see if that makes a big difference. But I would take him either way. Just expecting, like you said, the coaching staff is pretty good. Even with Arthur Smith gone, and we expect that defense to make an improvement.
Do you feel like the 17th game is properly accounted for? Do you think the books know how to, I mean, obviously, you know, you can prorate it out and everything, but it feels difficult for anybody to sort of figure out how that's going to work relative to the win totals.
Yeah. I mean, you have to take into account which conference is going to be the road team and which is going to be the home team. I mean, there's always too many wins baked into the totals. First and foremost, every year, you know, I track that before I make my picks. You expect now that we have 17 games that the average win total should be 8.5. It's 8.7 right now. So you're just adding extra wins there. If you take overs, you're making things a little bit more difficult on yourself. So you got to really believe in the teams to take over. So I think if you're on the fence of something, it's probably a stay away. But if you're on the fence of a under, I'm more likely to play that than I am an over.
Okay, right on. To the Colts. The Indianapolis Colts, of course, traded for Carson Wentz this offseason, and then he probably suffered the exact same foot injury that their all-pro guard Quentin Nelson suffered. It's very bizarre how that worked out. And look, if Carson Wentz comes back and plays week one, then I'm a little more concerned about fading the Colts. I actually wish I'd strengthened my fade position of the Colts more before the Wentz injury was announced, because I like Frank Reich. I like a lot of players on their defense. I think Matt Eberflus has done a really good job coaching them up on that side of the ball. Big Mike Pittman fan, love Jonathan Taylor, but I'm just not a Carson Wentz fan, and I'm not willing to believe that Frank Reich is going to magically change everything around for him after that disastrous season last year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be magic, but I think Frank Reich knows how to get the most out of him. So if there's any situation where Carson Wentz is going to have a chance to improve and get back to the level he was, you know, a few years ago when he was in the MVP conversation, it's got to be with Frank Reich. And the good news is he's not going to have a ton of pressure on him to carry the team. Rivers had just 200-300 yards passing games last year. You know, the run game leveled up late in the season. We saw Jonathan Taylor break out in fantasy leagues. So I think the rehab for Nelson might be a bigger deal. If Nelson is effective in week one, week two early in the season, that run game can dominate. And then it just comes down to the defense. And the worry is whether they have enough pass rusher after losing Justin Houston to Nico Autry. That's 15.5 sacks that I don't think is going to be replaced by the rookies and the people they brought in. But, you know, from week six on, starting with that Houston game, I see at least 8 wins on the schedule. So as long as they don't start 0-5, I think the number of 9, which you can find in some places right now, would be a push at worst. And maybe you can find some 8.5s too, depending on how this news on wins, you know, plays out. And, you know, as long as he's back and healthy by week six, I think 8 wins are on the schedule. So just find a win somewhere and you're going to get to 9.
Interesting. Now, they could start 0-5 though. Like, that's not off the table. Even with Carson Wentz healthy. I mean, they're Seahawks at home, Rams at home, at Titans, at Dolphins, at Ravens. That's brutal, man.
Yeah, tough schedule. Titans game will be interesting considering the division rivals. And then Dolphins, it depends on how you feel about the Dolphins, whether they can go into Miami and win that one. So you just got to win one of those. And like I said, you're going to get to 9 wins and at least push. And then maybe if he's healthier than expected, you can win both. And you're on a run later in the season, getting to 10, 11 wins.
Okay, so you're on the over here with the Colts too, as well.
Yeah, I like the over better than the under, but you really can't play anything without knowing more about the health of the key guys there.
I'm going to assume as we sort of migrate into another team here. I agree. The Colts are, don't bet on the Colts right now. You know, same thing. I mean, you wanted to bet on the Titans before their value was peaked up in terms of the division odds. And you don't want to bet on the Colts now when they're bottomed out. The Jaguars, I've suggested that the Jaguars could play the rogue spoiler here in at 8-1 to win the division. And I get the sense that you think I'm probably crazy for suggesting that.
I think you're absolutely crazy. I think the offense can be good if Lawrence is a star right away. That's no guarantee, though. We've seen other quarterbacks come in and take a little time when they started rookies. I mean, Joe Burrow was having a fine season statistically before his injury. He was just 2-7-1 on the win, the record book. Yeah. So they had a bad team around him, and that's why. And there's no question in my mind the Jaguars have a bad team around Lawrence, particularly on defense. They got just 3.5 sacks from Josh Allen and Clavon Chason, who's supposed to be, they're big first-round picks, and they're supposed to be able to generate pressure. They're not getting sacks. First-round pick Taven Bryan looks like a bust. They brought in Malcolm Brown to replace him. So they spend money on Malcolm Brown, but it's replacing a guy that they already expected to have, locked up in that position. C.J. Henderson reportedly on the trade block. They brought in Shaq Griffin and maybe replace him. So you spend money on Shaq Griffin, but that's just replacing a guy that you, again, spent a top 10 pick on, and you expect him to be good. So pieces like Brown and Griffin could theoretically boost an improving young defense. Like if you'd have put them on Carolina, who I think is an improving defense, we're going to talk about in a little bit, but they're not going to do much for a D that was last in the league at 6.3 yards per play allowed last year. So I don't think that Jaguars defense can be good. I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is going to do enough on offense. That's putting a huge load on him, right? Well, he better be Patrick Mahomes if he's going to take this team over 7 wins. And I think you're asking for over 6 wins to get to 7 wins. I think you're asking for a lot. So I love the under here for Jacksonville.
Justin Herbert last year had the season that a lot of people, Ryan Wilson, I think, has correctly pinned it. Like what Justin Herbert did last year is what you were hoping that Trevor Lawrence can do in 2021. And Justin Herbert still only won 7 games. Now that's not necessarily his fault. It's partially because, Anthony Lynn was not a good football coach, and they lost a bunch of games at the end. But this is Urban Meyer's first rodeo in the NFL. I mean, I know he's been a head coach many, many, many times and coached many, many games, but he is still adjusting to coaching in the NFL. And you would have to think there's going to be one or two. He was moaning about the free agent process instead of being able to recruit guys. I mean, there's going to be some adjustments that he has to make along the way. And while they probably get 2 wins against the Texans, I don't know that those are guaranteed, because I do agree with you. I think the defense would be bad. My full investment in the Jaguars will probably be at the fantasy level, because I think this is sort of set up like the Cowboys or the Falcons, maybe, or the Bengals, if you will, where Lawrence is going to be chunking it around. Marvin Jones looks like a nice buy in fantasy. I'm a little scared of the under just because it's low with the 17 games, but I definitely see your point. The under is scary with 2 games against the Texans. That would be my concern.
Yeah, I think the one you want to play if you're looking at making a fun bet on positive situation for the Jags is Trevor Lawrence leading the league in passing yards. Ooh. I think you can find that at like 50-1, maybe 40-1. And that's a case where if that defense is terrible and he has to throw it a ton, if he's good, he might do that if he can stay healthy and play 16 games, because they're going to have to throw it a lot. They're going to be down in games a lot. So that might be one to play if you look into that and you can find that prop.
Yeah. I've located a 40-1 for Trevor Lawrence, Big Ben 40-1, Lamar Jackson 50-1. I mean, yeah, he could be throwing the ball a ton out there next year. And I don't think that Urban Meyer will be afraid to utilize, especially with the way that, they're going to be using Travis Etienne as almost like the Percy Harvin role. It seems reasonable that, even some of they'll have some runs, running plays that are actually little quick passes that get him the ball there. And yeah, that's a good call on Trevor Lawrence there. So make sure and get that bet in if you're on the Lawrence hype wagon like I am, and like really everybody is, because, friggin' Trevor Lawrence is awesome. The Houston Texans over under, I believe, 4.5. They are arguably the worst team in football, RJ.
Yeah, if you can find 4.5, you know, I think take that under. I've seen 4 now, and that's probably a stay away at 4 for me. That number's just so low. Needing 3 wins or less and getting 2 games against the Jaguars. I mean, who knows if you can win both of those, just because who knows how good the Jaguars are. Deshaun Watson played great last year. He completed 70% of his passes for 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, still went 4-12 because the defense was unable to make big plays. He had just 3 picks all year. I mean, you might expect some regression to the mean from defense and, you know, get some turnovers, and that would make them positive, and that would have a chance to go over or be a solid team, 7-8 wins if Deshaun Watson was playing. But we know that's not going to be the case. So Tyrod's shown the ability to win games, but the team isn't good around him. It's like Jacksonville. You know, they're just nobody around him. So once Houston's out of the race, do they really want to go and see what they have in Davis Mills? And if he's starting games at the end of the year, you're just going to lose the rest of your games, I think. So under would be the play for me here, but at 4, I don't think you can do it. I think it's just a stay away.
The Texans, by the way, 25-1 to go 0-17. Any value there? Probably not.
No, don't play those type of bets. That's, I mean, if you want to and have a little fun and root for it, maybe something small, but I don't think there's any value in it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that as well. I mean, look, honestly, the Texans, I think they're probably worse than the Lions. They just, Tyrod Taylor gives them a little bit of a floor, and Brandon Cooks, they have this, they invested in David Johnson and Mark. It's just weird to see what they're doing. And they don't feel like a team that's just trying to completely reboot or anything. I don't really understand it completely.
I think you lose all your games here and get the first pick and hope you find a quarterback next year, considering how the Watson situation went from having a franchise quarterback a year ago to now they're needing to reboot the position, but traded away their first round pick. So they couldn't really do anything this year.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the NFC South. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers headline the division here in the NFC South. They returned all 22 starters from their Super Bowl winning team that actually was a wild card last year. People tend to forget that. They did win 11 games. Is there any scenario where you are fading the Buccaneers?
No, 12 is their number. It's a big number. I probably wouldn't play it unless it could get to 11.5. And I know those were out there earlier in the offseason. So over 11.5 is probably good, but I can't, you know, say go with the under now that it's 12. You know, I love the continuity on the roster. Schedule looks great. Matchups against NFC East and AFC East. That AFC East, they get home Buffalo and Miami. So those favor them because they'll be the home team. And then, you know, Brady can win in New England. So that they're going to New England there. So division also likely taking a step back with Breeze gone. You know, the Saints win totals down at 9. So they could run away with the division. Only thing you have to really worry about with this team, I think, is health, as even a couple missed games from key guys makes it hard to go over. It's such a big number because there's such a small margin for error there. But if, you know, the disaster doesn't strike, you don't suffer like an Eagles level injury, you know, run or Cowboys level injury run from last year. I think they'll get to this at least 12.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. 11.5 is fine. Bet 11.5. The problem with 12 is that you just, you know, 12-5 would be a pretty good season and probably win the division, potentially win the division, certainly get you in the playoffs. And, you know, that we, the wild cards here are Sam Darnold and Jameis Winston, really, for when you're thinking about the Buccaneers too. I don't think those two guys are going to take down Tom Brady completely. But I mean, you know, they do have, you know, you get the Cowboys in week one, you go into the Rams. I mean, there's some tough games on the schedule, even though I agree that the East matchups certainly helped them get there. I would take the over here if I was doing anything. The bet I've been making, and I've been saying this for several weeks now, and I'm going to keep pounding the table for it. No pun intended, NFC South pun intended. The bet the Buccaneers to win the division, anything less than 250. I mean, probably now if it's up at 250, that's probably too expensive, but minus 200 for the Bucs to win the division is just a good value, right?
Yeah, if you could find that, you know, I'm seeing minus 375 right now. So
what?
I think
have I personally sent this skyrocketing into?
I think everybody's kind of seeing what you're seeing. It's like they're 3 wins higher than the next, you know, closest team in the win total. So nobody really expects anybody but the Bucs to win the division. I think another problem with going with the overs, you look at the end of season, if they're not in play for the number one seed, and we know only one team gets a bye, yep, and they're comfortably ahead in the division as, you know, the win totals expect them to be, are they resting players, guys in week 17, week 18? Then you get an extra loss on your ledger. That's, but that's such a small margin for error. Can you really, you go from winning 13 games to 12 games and you push, or you go from 12 to 11, still win the division easily, but now you've lost your bet. So there's just a little bit too much thing go wrong there to play over for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The where I didn't see the actual, Caesars only had the second place division odds up right now, which is, the Saints are obviously huge favorites. Where did you see 375? Just somewhere, just another site?
I saw it, I think, before. This is, I have my spreadsheet that I keep these, gotcha, odds current in. So I did this probably a week ago. I saw it there at Caesars.
All right. I'm seeing minus 278 on my local and elsewhere. So that at that point, it's probably gotten too far out to make it worth betting. I was suggesting doing it minus 200. If you can find anything under 250, I still like it. I think they're just by far and away the best team in this division. The next best team, probably the New Orleans Saints. And they come with the big caveat of who will the quarterback be? Pete Prisco, who spent time down in New Orleans, seems pretty adamant that it's going to be Jameis Winston. Do you agree? And do you have any thoughts on the Saints win total at 9?
Yeah, I think Jameis played better in I know the stats were similar in the first preseason game, but it looked like Jameis played better to me. I think Jameis being the primary quarterback opens up the offense a little more to go downfield.
Sure.
It doesn't limit what you can do as a passer. You know, I think if Taysom's in there, you're pretty much playing the run a lot, in the short field a lot. So I think if you can game plan down to go down the field more frequently with Jameis, that fits Marquez Callaway's skill set, you know, if he's going to play more, which we expect. And yeah, Breeze is gone. His absence didn't slow the Saints down in the last couple of years. They went 8-1 with backup quarterbacks. And I think defending deeper down the field is going to open things up more over the middle as well. So that you get Kamara more work, Travis more work. I mean, anything you can do to get the ball in Kamara's hand with space is going to be great. So they have an excellent offensive line, as we know. They had an excellent defense last year, lost a few pieces. But players like Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Lattimore, that keeps their floor high. So they're not going to fall apart on defense. So I think you're really betting on Sean Payton here. Sean Payton is as much of an offensive genius as he's credited as being, as people have attributed to him for so long. He should be able to get to 10 wins with this roster, with this great offensive line, great defense, and you know, some playmakers like Kamara. And Jameis Winston isn't a schlub. You know, it's not like he was a terrible quarterback at Tampa. He was putting up stats. They just didn't.
I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, former number one overall pick. You led the league in passing 1 year.
Yeah, so I like the over here. I think 9 is a base floor for them to push. You know, if you can get 9, and then I think you're getting plus money on the over anyway. So people are expecting them to finish with a losing record, and I just don't see that because Jameis, I think, can play well, and they'll mix in enough Taysom Hill to make it interesting. But I think it's Jameis's team.
Two thoughts. One, or two questions, I guess. One, I found somewhere the Saints are plus 725 to win the division. Now, I mean, I know I'm slamming the table for the Bucs, but man, over seven to one for the Saints to win the division they won last year. That is that's at least kind of intriguing. At like 3-1, I don't have any real interest, but 7-1, my interest is peaked because I think I've got good value on both of those. I'm curious to think about that. And also, where's Kamara slotting for you fantasy wise in terms of the running backs at the top of the board?
I would take 7-1 for sure to win the division. I think, you know, it just takes a few injuries from the Bucs or a little Super Bowl hangover. And yeah, if Sean Payton's a good coach, and we think he is, he should be able to win with this team, like I said. So you could really see them battling all the way down to the end of the wire and Saints coming out on top. I give that more than a 14% chance happening, or whatever it is, 12% chance happening. Right. Kamara, I like, is third behind McCaffrey and Cook, just because I would rather have him than Henry. I just think there's so much wear and tear on Henry. I know he's been invulnerable to this, and he's going to get 300 plus touches every year, and you're never gonna see him fall apart. I don't buy that really that much. I'd rather have Kamara, and the thinking that he's going to be a primary part of the offense. He's going to be a little bit more used in the passing game than Derrick Henry is, obviously, and maybe the Titans pass more. And they have Julio Jones in tow. So I think Henry's probably even as good as he was last year. You know, you just without.
I mean, last year was Derrick Henry's ceiling, and he still finished below Kamara and Dalvin Cook in fantasy points per game.
Right. It's because it's just the passing work isn't there and you don't expect it to be there. So he's going to get you those huge games. If they happen to come in your fantasy playoffs, you're going to love having him. I just think week to week, you're going to feel better with Kamara on your team.
So the reason I asked about Kamara is I was having this debate with somebody about whether, or it was sort of like a group chat. It was like, what do we think Kamara's usage is going to be? Because if Taysom Hill is the quarterback, I got serious concerns. If Jameis is the quarterback, I think that, you know, he could, with Michael Thomas missing time, I mean, he could see like 20%+ of the Saints passing work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because you're not going to rely too much on Callaway and Traquan Smith if he's healthy. Because, you know, he's dealing with his own injury. So who do you pass to? I mean, Troutman looks like a nice little breakout at the tight end position. But Kamara should see a ton of work on the early going. And it'll be up to Sean Payton to come up with some ways to get him open and in space.
Okay. Yeah. So that's Kamara, actually maybe even a nice little value buy in fantasy. Because people are kind of scared of Kamara relative to, you know, the other big running backs because of the different stuff that's been happening with the Saints and Michael Thomas. It does feel a little dysfunctional around there, but maybe we're sleeping. Yeah, you are not sleeping on the Saints. Maybe I am sleeping on the Saints. I still think the Bucs are the best team, though. Not like that's a hot take. The Falcons over under 7.5, the over minus 130. Do you buy into the idea that Arthur Smith can get Kyle Pitts, Matt Ryan, and Calvin Ridley going enough to win 8 games?
I think that Arthur Smith could be a good coach long-term. I just don't believe it this year is going to happen right away. You know, Pythagorean win said they should have been an 8-win team over a 17 game pace last year, rather than the 4.3 win team over that pace that they were. You know, they were a 4-win team, and then you pace it out to 17 games. Cause that's all I'm really concerned with going forward. But that, you know, Pythagorean win total is tied to a 43-6 win over the Raiders. They recovered 4 fumbles and returned a pick 60 yards for a touchdown. That's not repeatable things. The defense was bad otherwise. Overall, they had 6.2 yards per play allowed. That's 0.1 off the worst mark in the league. Now they're changing schemes. They didn't bring in really any impact players to help. So it's going to be, you know, Grady Jarrett and then good luck with everyone else. So I expect that defense to be bad again. I don't know how much we can expect from the run game with Mike Davis leading the charge. The offense comes down to whether Ridley or Pitts can get open consistently. And if that's all teams have to worry about and they're scoring points at will the other way, I don't see how you get to 8 wins. So I like the under here. I think a lot has to go right to get 8 wins.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm buying in on Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley in fantasy. I'm not really enthralled with Matt Ryan. I'm more than happy to take him in like best ball as a second option, just because he will have those, you know, or if you're stacking, he will have some ceiling weeks. But it just feels like this team is going to have to outscore everybody. And Arthur Smith, while I think is a good coach, is also a first year coach. I mean, that's not going to make life easy, and you've got to play the Saints and the Bucks twice. I mean, that's probably 4 losses. Maybe you can get 1-3, or I think 2-2, there would be a miracle given how, you know, the rosters for those other two teams. And it just doesn't seem like they're going to be able to stop anybody. I also expect Carolina to be a little bit more friskier than they were last year. So tough division run. I'm with you on the under here on the Falcons. I wanted to be on the over. I just can't get there after they traded Julio Jones leading up to the season. I know he requested a trade and all that, but it feels like you're waving the white flag a little bit when you deal Julio.
Yeah, so it and we think big high things of Pitts, but he is a rookie tight end. There's not a history of them coming in and being amazing right away. And then so if he's not, you know, the next second coming of one of the top tight ends in the league, Travis Kelce or somebody like that, then you're Calvin Ridley or bust, you know, and that offense isn't going to look very good.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, you know, Arthur Smith coming from Tennessee, where, as we mentioned, you know, they have Derrick Henry. He's pretty good, right? They run the ball really well. All they have is Mike Davis in this Falcons offense. I don't really understand how the offense is going to. I have a few concerns about how the offense will look without that sort of run game, without a mobile quarterback in Ryan Tannehill to sort of get everything going. You have the weapons there, Ridley and Pitts and Matt Ryan, but it feels like they're sort of missing a little bit of the juice that they had in Tennessee with the obvious personnel differences.
Yeah, and I think Pitts is going to be good long term. I really wish they would have traded down and got some defensive help because they really need to shore up that defense, and I think that's going to be ugly this year.
Yep, I agree with you there. All right, finally, in the NFC South, the lowest ranked team by Vegas wins. The Panthers, 7.5 is their over under after acquiring Sam Darnold this offseason. I don't really think I've seen a whole lot of positive press about Darnold coming out of Carolina. It feels like the Panthers should be a little nervous about this season.
Yeah, I would lean to the under. It's only a lean. I think there's enough talent on defense that could come together quickly, even though they've been bad in the last couple of years defensively. You add J.C. Horn to what they've had the last few years. Brian Burns looks like a stud, and Jeremy Chin looked like a good find. Those type of guys, I think they could actually be pretty solid on defense. And if that happens, you know, they might be a solid team. The pass defense actually ranked 12th in net yards per attempt allowed. Run D was bad last year, couldn't get stops on third downs, overall. So you fix some of those and maybe you have a shot. I think a healthy McCaffrey, possibly a quarterback upgrade with Darnold, we'll see. That would make the offense pretty interesting if the offensive line doesn't sink them out of the gate. I think they have some question marks all up and down that offensive line. So that could be an issue for them. The schedule starts out pretty favorably, you know, so if they can get on a roll, maybe they can surprise in tougher matchups. We think they're a better team than they are. Ultimately, I think they fall just short in the land, like around 7, but it's a stay away for me because 7.5 seems like the right number.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty sharp number. And it's interesting, if you go back and look at Matt Rule's time in college. So he's at Temple first and then Baylor. Both those spots, you know, his team wins 1, 2, 3 games, whatever it was, very few games the first year. Second year, they win 6 or 7 games. They're about a 500 team. And then that third year is when they took the leap and won 10 games, 11 games. I think actually 10-3 for both those teams. I'm not suggesting that the Panthers in 2022 will win 10, 11, 12 games. I just think that's sort of how Matt Rule goes about building his programs. And I don't think it's necessarily a one-to-one correlation with the NFL and college, but I do think if you look at how they approach with the defense, they clearly year one, go all in on the defense, get all these young players. And as you point out, you know, that's a group that could either this year or next year, potentially take a leap forward. They just got to solve the quarterback position. And they're trying out one option with Darnold after striking out with Matt Stafford and Deshaun Watson, you know, dealing with his stuff. I still think they're a sleeper to trade for Watson. We'll see how that all plays out. But if that defense comes together and Sam Darnold's average, then I think this is a team that can flirt with the playoffs. But I tend to agree with you that I would lean, I would expect 6 or 7 wins is more likely than 8 or 9 wins. But I wouldn't want, those coin flips are a little too close for me.
Now, if they would have drafted Justin Fields at 8 instead of J.C. Horn, what do you think? With that schedule starting out pretty favorably and then they transition to Fields at some point, you know, I think at that point, maybe you're liking the over a little more. Maybe you think 8 wins, 9 wins, because it seems like Fields has some buzz. So that would be interesting that they would have solved the quarterback situation at that point, considering how people feel about Fields. But they obviously didn't think so. They did what they did. They're ready to wait on a quarterback and look at it, you know, a year or two down the line.
It is crazy that, like, in hindsight, that they didn't draft Justin Fields there. And I'd mocked him taking J.C. Horn I mocked him taking Patrick Surtain, but, you know, same, you know, 6 or 6 dozen. With Fields sitting there for them at 8, I mean, Fields was a really highly rated prospect. I get it. If they didn't like him, they didn't like him. That's fine. It is just shocking that they didn't take that opportunity to snag him, though.
Yeah, because we're not confident in Darnold. I think they might have a little more confidence than we did in Darnold.
I feel like I'm pretty high on Darnold relative to most people, and I'm not confident at all. I'm trying not to, you know, put my, I'm trying not to hang myself out to dry by being the Darnold guy here.
And you said, you know, you don't really see that much positive coming out about Donald from Carolina camp and reporting and stuff. So I wonder if they could do that move over, be knowing what they know now in August, whether they would still do that. You know, I'm sure they would say yes. Obviously, you never want to second guess yourself, especially this soon after. But, you know, they probably thought a little more highly of Darnold in April than they do now, I would think.
I also would think that when they traded for Darnold, that they did not think they would have an opportunity to get a quarterback at 8. Or they, you know, because at that point, the 49ers had already traded up to 3. And so they knew that there were going to be at least 2 quarterbacks off the board there. Oh, no, 3 quarterbacks off the board there, because you got Lawrence Wilson and then whoever the 49ers were taking. And I don't know who they assumed the 49ers were taking, but clearly they didn't believe that either Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance, whoever was going to fall down the board, was going to be better than Darnold, because they went out and made the move for Darnold anyway. We'll see how it works out. I believe in the Gase, the non-Gase bounce back, the dead cat bounce off Adam Gase. But I mean, that's sort of a flimsy proposition to suggest that the Panthers will magically figure everything out, or Sam Darnold will magically figure everything out. So I'm with you. I wouldn't want to take the over, but I am cautiously optimistic on Darnold being good this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a good spot. I mean, Joe Brady should, everybody thinks highly of him offensively. So if Darnold is going to figure it out, this seems to be like the spot to do it.
Yeah, and I do sort of wonder too, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was just so slow and methodical last year for Carolina's offense. It was really surprising. And then, you know, he goes on the All Things Covered pod with BMAC and like says they never practiced a 2-minute drill. So I want to know, was this a Teddy Bridgewater thing? Was this a COVID offseason thing? Was, you know, or was this a, you know, was this a situation where, you know, is it a Joe Brady thing? That's my concern. I want to make sure it's not, if it's a Joe Brady thing, that's a huge red flag.
Right.
All right. That's it for the NFC South and the AFC South podcast. Follow RJ White at RJ White One on Twitter, managing editor for Sportsline and CBS Fantasy Properties. And anything you want to plug?
Yeah, we have the Sportsline Pro Football season preview coming out. It's a download. Well, it's a PDF that you'll be able to get in your email box that we'll send to you. It has the model projections, you know, over under every win total. It simulates the season 10,000 times. So it gives you a projected number of wins. So you can take that to your book and kind of see where the value is on the best teams you like. You also have picks on each team from me and Larry Hartstein. You know, so you're getting 3 picks, model me and Larry on everything. You also get the simulation, what the simulation says about odds to win the division, conference, Super Bowl, those type of things. So a lot of good data in there. You know, a lot of Pythagorean win projection, win total from last year, paced out to 17 games. So get all that stuff in one place and you can see all those projections. Just keep an eye out on CBS Sports. We'll have the, and my Twitter feed, and I'll obviously be linking to it, and you'll be able to sign up and get all that in your inbox.
All right. Make sure and get that. It is, if Larry and RJ are giving out win total picks, you want to be involved. Those are going to be of quality. They're going to be of a high quality. Very, very good stuff. So, appreciate it.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.